Wonderful blessings of God's Word. What a perfect description of God's Word. As we look at Psalms 119, verses 17 through 20 this morning, as I studied this particular scripture, I want to share the first part of this, and next Sunday I'll share the verses 21 through 24. But wonderful blessings of God really demonstrates to us how powerful God's Word is. So as we look at this morning, beginning with verse 17 of Psalms 119 is a pretty long chapter, and it's got a lot of good information in here about God's Word. So follow along with me with verse 17. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances all the times. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed. You wander from your commandments. Who wander from your commandments? Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. In verse 24, your testimonies also are my delight. So looking at this passage of Scripture, the first four this morning, this Scripture text today reveals to us God, who is intervening in our lives through His Word each day. Every day of our life, God intervenes into our lives. And in verse 8, or these all eight verses here, the psalmist, he pleads with God, servant and pilgrim, who increasingly finds himself to be a stranger, as we read here in the scriptures, an enemy occupied in the territory. So he was coming to God in a prayer, seeking God's guidance, because he believed God's word, and God's word is true. So he sought refuge in God's Word. Now, devotion to God's Word marks the Lord's servant, and he was a servant. When you actually look at this particular paragraph, or 17 through 24, you see in your Bible, in my Bible, it has a little one word, Gilmel. That is the third letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And of course, the first one, A, would be Alpha, and then B, Beth. So this describes what's going on in this psalmist's life right here. So devotion to God's word marks the Lord's servants, but alienates him from the arrogant, verse 21 I just read, of the world. Now, We need help, really, in order to live as God has commanded us in His Word. We need help in that area. And we find that help from God. And that's why the psalmist was going to God. He says, I need help to be understand so I can keep the commandments, because the toil upon the world pulling on me and the enemies of this world are coming down upon me. So he runs to God. That's what we do. So God blessings, they come upon us in order that we may know him and obey him in this fallen world. So this is a fallen world in which we live. The Bible tells us that. So we go to God. We know that He is the creator of all things, and He will help us in every situation in our lives that we might understand that he is in control. Now, in order to do this, he must open our insight through his wonderful word. In verse 18, "For apart from his light, we are blind to see." And God came into this world to shed light upon this world, to show the world of its fallen nature. So therefore, in order to live as God has commanded, we are instructed. And we are instructed by the Word of God to meditate upon and delight in His Word, in God's Word. So first of all, let's look at the openness to God's Word. We must be open. Here the psalmist was saying, "I am open to hear from you, Lord. I am open to receive the word that you are going to give me, that I might be able to, through all of my circumstances and the enemies that's pressing upon me, that I might remain faithful to your word." So in order for us to be faithful, we got to be open to God's word. So verse 17 through 20 tells us that we are to be open to God's word. So verse 17 is a prayer for the empowering of a fruitful life. See, we need to be fruitful in our life. Matter of fact, John 15 says that we are to be fruitful. We are to abide in the vine. So as we abide in the vine and read God's word, then we become fruitful. We bear much fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Now, going back to verse 17 here, this prayer is for the appeal of that blessing which brings spiritual life, the spiritual life that every Christian needs in this world. Now, it is our unmerited blessing of grace which brings with it God's enabling. So that's why this life of or in the Spirit comes before becomes obeying. Now, I've lost my internet up there. So, the spiritual life comes from God's bountiful blessings, as we see here in that verse 17. So, life is impacted to the soul in the new birth through our belief in Jesus Christ. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 is three tells us that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to live the Christian life. So the Lord's servants cannot serve Him in their own strength. We can't serve God in our own strength. Matter of fact, going to John chapter 15, it tells us that without me, it's impossible to do anything. So we need God's strength to do this. Now, also, we need to know and keep the Word of God if we are the servants of God. For in His Word, our Lord gives us direction for the work that He wants to do in our lives. So how can fallen mankind understand God's Word? How can the fallen man of mankind, how can they understand God's word? The answer is found here in verse 18. Now I'd like to read that again so we have a better understanding how a fallen man can understand God's word. In verse 18, it says, "Open my eyes." Okay, this is the way that we do it. We open our eyes in order we can see not only with our eyes, but with our heart. Whatever we see, it goes to our mind. We analyze it, we process it and everything. And it goes to our heart. So we need to know and keep God's word if we are to be servants of God. And verse 18 says, "Open my eyes that I may behold the wonderful things from your law." The law, he is referring to the Bible. The Bible is the law of God. It's His commandments that He has provided for us. So, wonderful things are credited to God's making and His redemptive acts. And I say, great things, wonderful things are credited to God's making. Now, they include God's signs and wonders, such as those he displayed against Egypt, his supernatural provision during the wilderness journey, those 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness. He provided the understanding, and he provided supernatural provisions for that wandering to Moses. And these acts, however, can only be rightly understood as the manifestation of God's kingdom power as we open our eyes to God. All throughout the Bible, it says, listen, or look, or behold, or focus, or open your eyes to the understanding of God's word. So, what I'm saying this morning, without God's touching our vision, we stumble through life. If we don't open our eyes, you know, if you walk, you try to walk through life. For instance, if you've ever had issues with your head, with sinuses or vertigo or anything like that, the doctors say, I want to put you on some eye exercises. How many of you ever done that? You have to move your eyes and walk. And one of these exercises is to walk with your eyes closed. Now, how do you do that without stumbling and falling over everything? Well, it's not easy. But that's why God says with his word, you got to open your eyes so you can see the direction and the vision that I am laying out before you. Now, think about this. Thinking ahead, looking into the future of the things that God enables for us to do before they actually happen. And we can visualize it, and in order to carry those out, we must begin somewhere. Now, I want you to think about, I was thinking about Thomas Edison. He saw the incandescent light before the first bulb ever glowed. He visualized that. He said, it can happen. He had the knowledge, and he had the skills and ability to pursue that, and he made it happen. Think about Bill Gates. He saw a PC in every office and home, even while experts were announcing it cannot be done. It will never happen. Did it ever happen? Yes, it did. Most businesses and there's computers in every household today because Bill Gates envisioned that can happen. Now, going back to the 40 years, talking about the children of Israel wandering around in the wilderness, 40 years before the Israelites ever set foot in the promised land, Moses saw it because God told him it was going to happen. He just had to put one foot in front of the other and go to Egypt and say, God says, let my people go. Now, it gives Moses credit in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, by saying, by faith Moses left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured as seeing him who is unseen. Now, how does that chapter begin? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of those things, what? Unseen or not seen. That's how Hebrews begin. Faith is a substance of those things that will happen even though we don't see them. And Moses, standing at the burning bush, as God's told him, you know, this is what I want you to do, and this will happen. It will be carried out because I will be with you. Of course, there was a few bumps along the road, but by faith and the vision that was empowered in Moses by God Almighty through his word, it happened. Now, wondrous things are found in God's word. Also in Psalm 119, 129, it says, when we take time to read and meditate with open heart and mind, okay? We got to open our eyes, we got to visualize, we got to see as God wants to see through us and into the world. He will open our hearts and our minds to receive it. Now in verse 19, it asks directions that cannot be found in the world. Now the psalmist says, I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Now I can just think, the psalmist knew he wasn't going to hide anything, but he was just saying that. I want to know everything. You know, from the smallest to the greatest things from your word, from your commandments. Don't hide any of that, because I want to pursue, I want to carry that out in my life. I want to be completely obedient to you. So, if you're a sensitive Christian, you will be conscious of your pilgrim's status on this earth. We'll be conscious of that. And here, as we see the psalmist, he knew something of this experience of not belonging. Not belonging in this world. The Bible just said we're strangers in this world. We're only pilgrims passing through. It's only temporarily. Aren't you glad that this life that we know it, with all the heartaches and hardships and the diseases and plagues and everything that we undergo in this lifetime, is only temporarily? Well, that's what the psalmist is saying here. His circumstances were not pleasant. Our circumstances are not always pleasant either. But he was surrounded by wicked people who hated him. They hated him. And he wasn't despondent, though, but wanting God to take him on to heaven. He said, I'm ready. You know, I'm ready to leave this world. Just take me on. Just take me. Let me enter into the gates of heaven. So, on the contrary, going back to his faith in God, he trusted God, so he prayed. He prayed that God would give him life. So we pray for life while we're here on this earth. We pray for a life that will be productive and useful for God's kingdom. So he desired that he might walk obediently, that his mind might be attuned to God's word, and that his heart might be filled with the longing of the fellowship with the Lord. And that should be our prayer as well. In verse 20, it expresses a soul's intense desire for renewal through God's word. You know, when we read God's word, you know, it's going to inspire us. It's going to enhance our life. And I want you to look with me in verse 20, because this word, the word longing, it's all the way through the Bible. Now listen what it says, verse 20. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. Now, the term longing, it means fervent desire. Have you heard that word before? Jesus himself spoke those words when he met with the disciples at the Passover before he went to the cross. And he said, with fervent desire, I have desired this time with you to take this, to take the cup and the bread, which resembles, is a symbol of my death on Calvary, my body, my blood. So this fervent desire, as the longing, that's what it means. It's true godliness lies one's in the night of the Passover meal. So, true godliness lies in one's continual desire for God's word, for God's commandments, for God's provisions, for God's vision to carry us and get us through difficult times. So those who ever long for God's word, it can be rebuild their lives by transforming them, and they will mature in God's faithfulness. Now, as we conclude here this morning, great challenges require great maturity. When we seek a challenge, or when a challenge comes before us, if God offers us an opportunity or a challenge in this word, it requires great maturity. So God takes time, the necessary to develop our character to match this assignment, be it here and there, you know, in heaven, right now. After telling Abraham, "I will make you a great nation," that took time. Why did it take time? It took 25 years of testing for God finally entrusting Abraham with a son to establish the Jewish kingdom. Yes, God said, "I will make you a great nation. I will make you a great name. I will give you a son." But there was continual testing in his life, preparing him for this very moment. Another 25 years, you think about it. Do we have that kind of patience? We pray and we ask God to envision my life, to give me the power to do great things for you. And then there's a testing period. Okay, how bad do you want it? How earnest are you going to be fervent in your obedience to me? That fervent desire, that longing. So that testing went on another 25 years for Abraham. But God came through with his promise. That's what it means. So if you're still waiting for God's timing, it could be your character needs more work. Maybe my character needs more work. All of our characters need more work. That's the task that God has in mind for you or for me, that requires a bigger commitment than we have right now. and thinking about this year, you know, as we build upon that, as we think about that, and we read and study the Word of God, like the psalmist is saying, you know, give me your blessings. Give me that desire. And the riches of God they're available to all who will take time to read it. They'll come. But first, we must realize its value. We have to realize the value of God's Word. And when we pursue it, we read it, we study it, and envision the power of God that enhances our life through His Word, then that's the blessing. That is the blessing. Now, we talked about the openness to God's Word this morning, verses 17 through 20. Next Sunday, we're going to look at the opposition that the psalmist was talking about in verses 21 through 24. But I encourage each and every one of us to make this year the Bible the day of the Lord, to study it, to be like the psalmist, say, "Lord, don't hide anything from me. I want to know it all." Now you say, "How in the world can we know it all?" Well, if you don't get into it, read it and study it, we won't know anything. We won't know as much as we should. But God will not withhold anything from a believer, a Christian, that really desires to have a closer relationship with Him. And that's what the psalmist is saying, "Lord, you know, I just seem to be with you, as Paul said, you know, absent from body, present with the Lord. But while I'm here on this earth, bless me as I remain faithful to your word. Apart from my enemies and the circumstances around me, I'm trusting in you. I'm trusting in your word. And may I fully be fervent. I long to be obedient to you. What a prayer. That's faithfulness. That is really loving the word of God. May we pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings. And Lord, we thank you for the word that we heard this morning. There is power in your word. It gives us power to live the Christian life. It helps us to envision our purpose. And it helps us to understand that through all the circumstances in this world, everything that happens, we know that you're still in control. The book of Psalms, your book is a revelation of truth. And Lord, it helps us to understand that we have a purpose, and that purpose is to love you most of all, love one another, to be a servant, and that longing, that fervent desire, as Jesus said himself to his disciples, it means something important that we looking to be, have that relationship, that closeness while we have that opportunity. And dear Lord, we pray this morning, whatever decisions that you have laid upon our hearts this day, that we'll be faithful in following your will in our lives. I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for those listening this morning. We all have various needs, various concerns, and you have all the answers. And all we have to do is run to you, come to you, and let our plea be known, our supplications, our desires. Lord, I pray this morning for the peace that passes all understanding in every one of our lives. That whatever the decisions that we make, Lord, we have prayed about it. We have sought you. We're looking to you. And when we make that decision, we know we have that peace. If that's here this morning in this congregation or those who are listening, Lord, we pray the blessings upon those. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing this morning, our hymn of invitation.